Welcome to another episode of the International News Desk this week with a slight twist. I'm your host, Sean Robinson, of course, I'm alone, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. How are you, sir?
Good, thanks, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well, Curdy. Curdy, let's start off with what is happening at Man United. Not a good start pre-season-wise in terms of players leaving early. What happened in the weekend?
So, Manchester United played Rayo Vallecano in a pre-season friendly this past weekend on Sunday. And Ronaldo was pictured leaving the stadium around the 75th minute mark. He had come off at halftime, presumably because of fitness levels. He hasn't trained much. He hasn't played any preseason games or hadn't played any preseason games before that. So he was pictured leaving the stadium. That did the rounds on social media, caused a bit of a stir. There was then a report that Manchester United, the club, they communicated to the press that he and a few other players were given permission to leave early. But then Ten Hag this week came out in an interview where he was asked about this and said that he finds it unacceptable and he has communicated to those players. He wasn't specifically talking about Ronaldo, but to those players, which obviously includes Ronaldo's, that they need to obviously do better. So it's caused a bit of we're just a few days away from the Premier League returning, and I think that Ten Hag could really do without this drama. It's his first game coming up, and there's a lot of expectations, there's a lot of excitement, but now the biggest talking point is Ronaldo and Ronaldo wanting to leave and Ronaldo's behavior. There's a lot of accusations that Ronaldo was ignoring certain instructions in that game on purpose. It's not a good start to the last week leading up to the new season.
No, not at all. I don't know what the United faithful must be thinking already. It's a bit crazy. But let's just stay with United and what's happening in the Frankie de Jong saga. I've heard that Chelsea now have kind of come and sweep it under the carpet underneath United's feet. What's happening?
Yeah, so the latest reports in Europe and in Spain and England suggest that Barcelona have accepted an offer from Chelsea for De Jong. And, of course, this is a player who has been linked with United throughout this transfer window. I think it's been for the last 3 months he's been linked. But the deal has continued to stall. We think it's because De Jong doesn't really want to join Manchester United. But then there's also a section of fans who believe that it's because he wants to make sure that he does get paid those wages that he deferred during the pandemic. So it's very confusing, and I think it's one that will probably go down to the wire. I think it will be very interesting if De Jong turned around and told Ten Hag no after a three-month pursuit, and instead I'm joining Chelsea. I think that would be quite hectic, if I'm honest with you. But let's see. Chelsea can offer him Champions League football. Chelsea also, they've strengthened quite well over the last few weeks. Koulibaly, they, I think, on the brink of signing Kukurea, the right and left back. They obviously brought in Raheem Sterling. So it's probably a more exciting project for him at this moment. But let's see what comes of it. I don't think that United are going to be giving up anytime soon.
Yeah, and there's in the Manchester Evening News last night talking about a plan B, and Wolves midfield ace Ruben Neves possibly if the De Jong deal doesn't happen, and he's been linked with United before. I don't know if you read that article.
Yeah, so I've seen that he's been talked about as a candidate for that role. But I think we've mentioned it on the show before. They're very, very different players. He wouldn't offer Ten Hag what De Jong would. No. But in his own right, he's a really good player. He's got Premier League experience. He's a Portugal international. He's played in major tournaments. And I think that he's probably at the right time for him to be looking to move to a bigger club, because I do think that he is potentially a world-class midfielder. So let's see what comes of it. I still think that United will persist with this De Jong chase, but I don't think that Neves would be a bad replacement.
Absolutely. Let's switch continents now. And Luis Suarez has left Europe.
Yeah, he's joined Nacional. He's rejoined Nacional, the team that he left 16 years ago.
Wow.
A career in Europe. He obviously first went to the Eredivisie and then to the Premier League and then to Spain. For my money, probably, and I know that Lewandowski and Benzema have been excellent over the last couple of seasons, and there's more longevity there. There's more energy in their legs. It's despite being, I think, 34 and 33 respectively. Mm. Suarez is now 35, but for me, the best striker of the last 10 years. I've probably not enjoyed watching another striker more than I have enjoyed Suarez. In particular, that spell at Barcelona, although he was world class at Liverpool in his, I think it was 4 seasons or 3 seasons in England. Mm-hmm. It's sad to see him leave Europe, but at 35 years old, it's probably the right time. He's slowed down quite a lot over the last few seasons. I even thought that he might have been finished after his last season at Barcelona. But then went on to win La Liga again at Atletico Madrid, and then this last season sort of injury issues, fitness issues, and he's returned to Nacional. So it's a nice story, and we wish him all the best, don't we, Sean?
We wish him all the best. We wish him all the best, and I don't know if you saw how he arrived in style with the that's beautiful, eh? On Lionel Messi's £12 million private jet.
Yeah, excellent.
Beautiful.
His unveiling was special as well. Like, yes. Thousands of fans turned up. Messi's good luck message video played on the stadium screen. It was it looked pretty cool. His family was there. I actually read that Suarez left Nacional 16 years ago to pursue a relationship with his now wife, who he returns to Uruguay with. So, quite a special, cute story. But we wish them all the best, don't we?
We wish them all the best. You took the words out of my mouth. Moving back to Europe, Kurt, the dirt, the Premier League starts already. Can you believe it this weekend? Couple of games to keep our eyes and ears open for. What are the big ones coming?
Well, Arsenal kick the new season off against Palace on Friday night. Mm. I think I'm going to go for a draw in that game. I'm not sure about you, but I know Arsenal have had an excellent preseason. And Palace, you know, they're looking good. They've signed a couple of players, a lot of youngsters, a lot of young attacking talent. Yeah. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw in that game.
Interesting.
I don't know if you want to give me your prediction, Sean.
We wish them all the best. But have you seen who Crystal Palace's sleeve sponsor is?
I did see this, but it's
Mukuru.
What is that, Sean? Sorry.
That is a South African based payment platform.
Oh wow!
So if you want to send money to Zimbabwe or Nigeria, whatever, it's one of those. Incredible, hey?
Wow.
Yeah, big shock. But Kurt, I do agree. I think an exciting draw in a London derby. Next one.
I'm going to go, so we're going to chat about Manchester United and Brighton, which is on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And there I'm going to go for a United win. I'm going to say 3-1 United.
Wow. I'm going to go for, I have to go for a Brighton win. Just because all the turmoil that's happening behind closed doors and what's happening, I just think that United are not ready. But yeah, I think those are the two games we'll keep a close eye. But it's stick with United. And the reason for this international news desk, the main reason, is Benny McCarthy to United. Kurt, I did not see this coming. I don't think anybody did. This is incredible. It's a shock. Yeah, I mean, but I think before I get to you, let's listen to what the fans had to say.
Yeah, what a big move. And then he deserved that. We must remember, Ben McCarthy is not a small boy and not an African who got lucky only. He got receipts as well. He is the all-time Bafana Bafana top goal scorer, and he so finished as the top goal scorer in Portugal. In one season, he was number 5 top goal scorer in UEFA Champions League. This is the best ever news in South Africa and Africa as a whole. I believe in Ben McCarthy.
According to me, I think Ben McCarthy deserves it to move from Amazon to Man United because Ben McCarthy has a big license, with a license than any coach here in South Africa. So I think that is a good move for him and for us as South Africans.
I think it's a good thing for Ubeni. It's a good thing for Ubeni. He will grow and he will get experience that he deserves. So I think it's a good thing for him, his career, his future in terms of coaching.
Ben is one of the top coaches in the country. He has got qualifications from UEFA and he has played at the highest level. He won the Champions League, so he deserved to be there. He was a quality striker as well. He deserved to be there. He's got experience, he's got charisma, he's vocal,
a big movement to Manchester United, of which is the biggest giant in the world.
It's good for South African football. It's such an achievement for Benny McCarthy himself. But his achievement, I believe, is going to benefit as well South African football. I mean, the kind of experience he's going to get there, it's going to benefit us a lot. For me, Benny, it's one for the future in terms of coaching Bafana Bafana.
So, Curly, I think what I take from these lessons or the voice notes, and some of them are absolutely correct, is that I'm speaking from my personal journey, I guess, with Benny, is that we seem to have forgotten what a big name he is and how massive this is. And yes, he's come here to Cape Town. He's gone to Durban. He was successful in some parts, very successful at AmaZulu, second season, not too much. And now all of a sudden he's popped up as Man United striking coach. It's absolutely incredible. I don't know how to take this. It's a weird one, but super happy and super proud for him.
No, I mean, it's awesome. I found out I was playing soccer this weekend, and after the game, I got a message from, this past weekend, I got a message from a friend saying, did you see the McCarthy news? Which sort of made my heart stop, and I thought, what's happened? I thought something bad had happened. I had no idea what I was about to read. And then I went online, and I saw Marwa's tweet about it, that Benny will be United's new striker coach. And at first, I didn't know if I didn't know whether to believe it or not. Mm. And then I went back on WhatsApp and I had a group chat with a bunch of colleagues and stuff, and they were all talking about Benny's appointment. And again, I just couldn't believe it. Didn't feel real. Mm. But it's awesome. It's incredible. It feels like from the few discussions that I've had with friends and acquaintances and soccer mates about it, is that Benny seems to be disrespected based on what, or based on how we perceive our own people from our country. And people speak about it like, you know, are United serious? Like, that's the conversation that I've had with people. Are United being serious? Oh, no, things are going so badly there. This is a joke. But we forget how respected he is overseas in Europe. Being a Champions League winner, still the only South African to have ever won a Champions League. To have been among the top goal scorers in the Premier League in the early 2000s at Blackburn, to have played at Celta Vigo in La Liga, to have played in the Eredivisie. You know, Benny McCarthy overseas is a top name and or is a big name, and he speaks multiple languages. And I think that people don't give him, at least South Africans, don't give him the credit that he deserves. And that's maybe because of his sort of boisterous, sort of out there personality. I don't know how to explain sort of what I mean when I say that South Africans might not take him all too seriously, but we have to remember that Benny McCarthy is a well respected footballer.
Yeah.
And enjoyed a phenomenal career, still Bafana Bafana's record goal scorer. It's an incredible appointment. Did not see it coming, and what really interested me after the appointment was how this came about. How long was this in the pipeline? So a phenomenal bit of news, and it's just been really exciting and also great for our website. Let me say that. Benny pulls numbers.
Yes.
So it's great to see him wearing the United badge on his chest.
Absolutely. And do you have a bit of insights in terms of how long this has been going on behind closed doors, and how long this deal took?
Yes, yeah, so I read a very, very insightful piece this week on The Athletic by a journalist called Andy Mitten, who is a Manchester United dedicated journalist.
Yes.
And he has sources within the club. He's done countless interviews with players, with Ten Hag himself. I'm sure he's probably spoken to Benny at some point.
I'm sure.
And he provides some really cool insights into this appointment. So the first thing that stood out to me about this article was that he said Bruno Fernandes is particularly delighted with this appointment. Mm-hmm. Because he considers Benny as one of his childhood heroes. Wow. Fernandes grew up a huge Porto fan and has very, very fond memories of that Champions League win in 2004. Mm. Of course, Benny was in that side and an important part of that side under Jose Mourinho. Mm. So I found that really interesting. Again, it speaks to how I think as we as South Africans, we don't really think that we don't really celebrate our own people enough. Mm-hmm. So when you think about Bruno Fernandes, a really high-profile footballer, mm-hmm. one of the highest-paid players at Manchester United, one of the most key players, you know, he is someone who, in his formative years of football, grew up idolizing this guy that's just around the corner from us in Cape Town. Crazy. It's just incredible to think about it that way. And then more insight was shared into Benny's appointment. Benny apparently had a really good relationship with Ronaldo during Ronaldo's first spell in England. And they actually used to socialize, which I had no idea about. Maybe you did. Mm-hmm. But they apparently used to run in the same circles. Of course, this is when Benny was at Blackburn. So that's interesting for what their relationship might be like if Ronaldo mm-hmm. does remain at Old Trafford. Benny, of course, speaks Portuguese very well. So I'm sure that they still get along. But obviously, we don't know how long Ronaldo will be there. And then more insights. Benny impressed in a four-part trial process where he took a few sessions. Ten Hag was really happy with his work. And then he really, really impressed in an interview with the board, with Ten Hag. Some really fascinating insights. And then what stood out for me the most, probably, apart from the Fernandes idolizing Benny McCarthy thing, was that when Ten Hag called Benny McCarthy and told him to finalize his contract with the club, Benny didn't once ask about his salary and what he would be earning. So that probably tells us that Benny saw this as a major opportunity to get into Europe, to get into the Premier League, and didn't even consider what he would be earning, because it's Manchester United and this sort of experience will, I think it's the sort of experience that can change his career forever as a coach. Because from this, you know, doors will open for him. And we hope they do. So it's an excellent appointment. I'm really, really excited. Ten Hag spoke about it earlier this week where he said that he's not just going to be working with strikers. He'll be working basically as an attacking coach where he'll be alongside the fullbacks and the midfielders and the forwards. Getting them to sort of all integrate and how he can build from different phases of play. So Benny will, he'll have a really important role. I think people might be playing down just how important he'll be to the coaching staff.
It's incredible. And I definitely was one of those people who were like, huh? Benny? What's going on? But now, you know, the more you divulge into it, the more it seemed like it was an in-depth interview process / trial period, I guess that's what you call it for Benny. But it's absolutely incredible. But Kurt, what does this do going forward for South African football?
Oh, Sean, that's a difficult question. Yeah. I don't know. I think what we need to consider here is that Benny is probably still considered as South Africa's greatest export. You know, a Champions League winner, we spoke about it earlier, still the only South African to have achieved that. There could be an argument that Stephen Pienaar might have been more consistent over a longer period of time at Everton. Mm-hmm. But I think that we need to remember that Benny's in this position because he is well respected and because he sort of proved himself in that league.
Yes.
It's not going to be as easy for others who don't have that sort of experience. I think that if you're a coach in South Africa, if you're a young coach who didn't have an incredible playing career abroad. It's not going to necessarily, this is at least my take on it, it's not going to necessarily open doors for you. Maybe you will be taken more seriously, but we need to remember that Benny is one of the most high profile South Africans to have played the game. He has a stellar CV, scored plenty of goals in the world's toughest leagues. So it's no coincidence that he's found himself in this position. You might have a different take on that, Sean, but that's just how I feel about it at this point.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. It's very rare these days that you get a Mourinho that never played at the highest level, for example. So it's absolutely, I think his CV speaks for himself. You touch on the point right now that he's scored plenty of goals in the most toughest of leagues, and we seem to brush that under the table sometimes. And I guess, did Cape Town City take it for granted? Did AmaZulu take it for granted? I don't know. I'm not too sure. Maybe it just wasn't a fit for him. Maybe it was just the perfect platform for him to get on his CV that he has been coaching at a decent league over the past couple seasons. But do you think AmaZulu and Cape Town City are sitting there scratching their heads saying, Oh my gosh, look at him.
I don't know. I think it might go back to that we don't really appreciate our own, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they did take advantage of, take it for granted that it was Benny McCarthy, you know, the guy who scored, I think, what was it, like 19 or 18 goals in one Premier League season for Blackburn.
Yeah.
Who scored heaps of Porto and achieved the, you know, greatness under one of the greatest ever managers in the world.
Yeah.
So I think that it probably just speaks to that, you know, just taking it for granted, not realizing what you have until it's gone. And him maybe being taken more seriously over there. But, you know, it's going to inspire many coaches. It's going to inspire many young players to see a South African on that platform. So, of course, it will have an impact, and it's already had an impact. It might not necessarily make it easier for South African coaches to go over there and work, but what it's going to do is going to make young kids, young aspiring footballers, young aspiring coaches see Benny on that stage and see themselves sort of being represented and feel like, you know, maybe that can be me one day and I'm going to work harder. So I think it will push people on to want to achieve more and to not see a limit on their abilities and their potential. So yeah, it's incredible, and I just can't wait to see it unfold. Ten Hag, apparently, you know, this started early in preseason. Ten Hag made it clear that he wanted Benny. So I'm not really sure if Benny at any point had to apply for this position. I think that he was sort of headhunted, recruited, if you will, by Ten Hag early in preseason. So this has been, you know, in the works for a while. It's really impressive how quiet this was kept.
Sure.
Because nobody knew it was coming. But no, it's phenomenal. I can't wait.
Yeah, same. And I saw him in his United tracksuit at Old Trafford on the weekend. It just looked absolutely. It suits him. He looks the part, taking photos with fans, and it's so cool. Just to touch on the point for SA football, do you think there might be a spotlight now put on the PSL?
A spotlight in what do you mean exactly by that?
In terms of the PSL might be taken a bit more seriously now.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Maybe. We hope so. Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a South African player go overseas and do really well. And, you know, Percy Tau, I think, was probably supposed to be that player. It didn't really work out for him at Brighton. He did have a run of games in that side, and he was playing in the Premier League, and that was really exciting. But it didn't really work out for him. He was obviously great in Belgium.
Yeah.
And is now, like, at least seems to be struggling in Egypt.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. So we do hope that the standard year can improve, and or that more players can get opportunities, because sometimes you're just a product of your environment, and sometimes you aren't able to shine if the things around you aren't at a premium sort of standard. And I think that, and I always sort of think about this example. When I was younger, playing at Edgemead, like playing maybe in under 11s or under 13s, we had a few players go over there to Ajax Cape Town to go trial, and then they impressed and then became a really good player at Ajax. But at Edgemead, they never really stood out. Obviously, we were too young to understand sort of what coaches and scouts were looking for in these players. But when they were at Ajax, they looked like really, really good footballers. And it's because the players around them were better. Because Ajax's sort of the level was more professional. The track suits, the shoes, remember, I just remember how everybody used to always dress the same. The coaching, everything was just at a top level. And you need that. So I think for South Africans, there's probably so many talented youngsters who could be playing at a much higher level, but they might not ever get that opportunity to express that. And I think that, it could very well shine a light. I hope that more people, more scouts look at South Africans, because there's plenty of talent here.
Yeah.
Plenty of, on a technical level, up there with the best in the world. But it's hard when you don't have the correct platform.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That's very well put. And we hope with Benny's appointment that will potentially change. We can get some more Tulani Sereras, more Stephen Pienaars out there. And but Kurt, we wish him well.
We wish him well, don't we?
So I think, Kurt, thank you. That was a wealth of knowledge and education. Thank you, Kurt. We really do wish him well. And I guess that is how we do wrap up today's episode of the International News Desk. So whether you have been listening on SL Podcast at co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mikey King 96.7's Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts, and of course, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield, thank you so much.
Cheers, Sean. Thanks very much.
Cheers, bud.